go to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark tonight, chapter 8. And we'll read just a few verses here. And this is kind of an unexpected opportunity. And I feel a little pressure tonight. I thought I was going to have the day off, and now I'm in a high pressure situation tonight. And just how quick things can change in life, no doubt about that. So if we have bad attendance next week, I'm going to feel horrible. I'm going to be honest. So if nothing else, can you come out of pity? I mean, just come to revival next week, just maybe because you feel sorry for somebody, and maybe because you love the Lord too a little bit in there, and just put whatever you got to together and get here, all right? And I sure would appreciate that. And no, I appreciate any opportunity I have to preach. It's kind of unexpected even just to be here today, but the Lord knew what needs to be done. I was looking forward to hearing the preacher preach today, and I'm praying that God will touch his voice and he's able to get back in the pulpit real soon. Amen. And you'll be praying a little bit harder for that when I get done here in just a minute. Amen. I promise you that. Mark chapter number 8. Let's stand together just for a moment. We'll read just a few verses here tonight, familiar scripture, and I'll give you a very simple thought tonight. Mark chapter number 8. The Bible says in verse number 1, "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, and brake, and gave to his disciples, and set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed, and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we're thankful for the opportunity we have to be in the house of God tonight. Lord, thank you for the good meeting this morning, Lord, the good testimonies, and we're thankful tonight for a place we can come and feel the presence of the Lord on a regular basis. And Lord, we're thankful for our preacher tonight. I pray that you touch him and touch his voice and help him, I pray. And God, I pray that just for the next few minutes, God, would you help us, Lord, to glean something from your word tonight. Lord, fill me with your spirit and use me for your glory. Encourage your people here tonight. And we'll give you the praise and honor for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to call your attention back to verse number 6. And just have something that's caught my attention the last few weeks and kind of been doing a little studying on here. In verse number 6, the Bible says that he, that's Jesus, commanded the people to sit down on the ground. The Bible says that he took the 7 loaves. And I want you to notice this. The Bible says that he gave thanks. And I underline that in my Bible tonight. It says, and gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks. And I've been pondering here recently on the thankfulness of Jesus. The thankfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was interested to find that you'll find 5 separate occasions in your Bible where Jesus gives thanks. Well, I should say it like this, where it's recorded that Jesus gave thanks. I don't know about you, but I believe Jesus gave thanks more than 5 times in his earthly ministry. I believe Jesus lived a life of perpetual thanksgiving. I believe he was always thankful. I believe he was always thankful to his Father for everything in his life and everything in his ministry and everything that was going on around him. And I believe that because that's how we ought to live. Isn't that right? We ought to live in constant in a constant state of gratitude. The Bible says in everything give thanks. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus. So if that's the will of God for us to live that way, then I believe with all my heart Jesus lived that way. I believe Jesus lived every day of his life thankful to his Father for everything that was going on in his life and in his ministry. And I believe we ought to live that way. You know what I found? I found that thankful people are happy people. Isn't that right? Thankful people are happy people. They're just content and they're just happy about everything. Who the miserable people are? People that feel a sense of entitlement all the time. They feel like they're owed something and they deserve something. And you know what I call them people? I call them Democrats. Amen. They just feel like they're entitled to everything. You owe me a college tuition, and you owe me a cell phone, and you owe me insurance, and you owe me this, and a government check, and all this kind of stuff. And they just owe. You know, them people that feel like they're owed something all the time, they're the most miserable people on the planet. They ain't never happy about anything, because when you live with a sense of entitlement, it's never enough, is it? Nobody can ever give you enough. Nobody can ever recognize you enough. They can't applaud you enough or approve of you enough. And you live your life empty, constantly trying to be full because you're not content with what you have. You know what the Bible says? My Bible tells me that godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the greatest gain you could ever have in your life. You don't necessarily need another raise. You don't need another car. You don't need another relationship. You don't need to go to another church. You don't need another preacher. I'm telling you what you need. You need some thankfulness in your heart for what God has given to you. And when you mix those things together, godliness and contentment, you look around and say, man, I am loaded. God has been good to me. They're the happiest people in the world. Thankful people are happy people, but thankful people are holy people. They really are. They're holy people. And let me tell you why that is. It's because at the root of every sin we commit is unthankfulness. It's ingratitude. Because God has given us so much to enjoy. God has given us so much to be a blessing in our life. And when we sin, do you know what we do? We step outside of the bounds of God's word, and we step outside of the bounds of God's will, and we try to grab something that God never intended for us to grab. We try to engage in something God never intended us to engage in, because we think that will fulfill us, that will satisfy us, that's what we need. When what we need to do is we need to look around at what God has given to us and realize how good God has been in our life. And when we appreciate and when we're thankful for what God has given to us, we won't feel the need to step outside of the bounds of God's will and God's word to try to take something that He's never intended for us to have. And so thankfulness and holiness goes together. It's that way in Romans 1. The Bible says that Brother Ballou would call it that route to apostasy is what that was. Romans 1, the degeneration of depravity in Romans chapter number 1. You know where it all starts, right? It all starts, it says, and neither were they thankful. That's where it started. Paul said that in the perilous days that we're living in these days, he said, men are going to be unthankful and unholy. He puts them right there next to each other. Thankfulness and holiness goes together. And I believe that's obviously supremely exemplified in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the holy. I mean, He is the Holy One. And He was a thankful individual. I was interested to find the things that Jesus gave thanks for as it's recorded in Scripture. The first time you'll find Jesus giving thanks in the Word of God, you can find it in Luke 10. You can find it in Matthew 11 as well, but Luke 10, he says this. Jesus says, this is the first time you'll find Jesus giving thanks as recorded in Scripture. He says, and I thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, is what he says. And the things that he's talking about, you got to go back and read the context there in Luke 10. The things that he's talking about is the fact that his disciples, those 70 that he sent out to cast out devils and cast out demons, they came back. Remember, they were rejoicing, and Jesus said, in this rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And the Bible says in that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in his spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. The things that he was talking about right there is the fact that those disciples knew who he was and knew what he could do and knew what his power was and what can be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But mostly he was excited about the fact that these disciples knew who he was. And I wrote down next to that verse right there, the very first thing Jesus gives thanks for is he gives thanks for light, L-I-G-H-T. He said, you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes. You know what he said, Lord, I want to thank you that you have showed these disciples who I am. And I thought, man, if there's one thing we ought to thank God for tonight, we ought to thank God that we know who Jesus is tonight. I ain't much, I don't know a whole lot, I'm just a babe. Amen. I'm not the wise and the prudent of this world, but I'm glad that my Father in heaven, I'm thankful for the day that he reached reached down and he turned the light on in my life. That's why when we get up and testify, we don't brag on ourselves and say, I'm glad I figured it out. We don't say, I'm glad I'm smart enough to put it all together and realize who Jesus was. No, we brag on the Lord and we say, thank you, Lord, that in my darkness and in my sin and in my wickedness, you showed me myself, but you showed me your Savior and you showed me who Jesus was. I'm glad I know who Jesus is tonight. Listen, we could be running around in a jungle tonight in a loincloth, you know, dancing around some totem pole, worshiping the sun or the moon or the stars and something like that. We could be worshiping Buddha tonight or Muhammad tonight or Allah tonight, but I'm glad I'm in a Baptist church tonight. I'm glad I got a King James Bible in my lap, and I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Jesus told Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. And listen, I'm glad that God turned the light on and showed me who Jesus was. I'm glad I know that he was born of a virgin. I'm glad I know that he lived a sinless life. I'm glad I know that he died on a cross for my sin. I'm glad I know that he was buried in a borrowed tomb. I'm glad I know that he got up on the third day. Listen, we take all that for granted, but we ought to thank God every day we get up and we can say, I'm glad I know who Jesus Christ is. What a gift, thanks for that. That's the very first thing that's recorded in Scripture. Jesus giving thanks for. And of course, he wasn't giving thanks on his behalf. He was giving thanks on those disciples' behalf. He was thankful that they knew who he was. And if Jesus gave thanks that they knew who he was, we ought to give thanks that we know who he is. Amen. Jesus gives thanks for light. Well, the next time you'll find Jesus giving thanks in your Bible, I put two things together. It's two occasions. I'm going to put them together because, in essence, he's giving thanks for the same thing. And one of them's one that we read here tonight. And if the Lord will let me, I'll get back to that and give you just a really brief word on that. But it's this feeding of the 7,000 in our text. You know, before that, he fed the 5,000 beside women and children. Five loaves, two fishes. Here in our text that we read tonight, it's the feeding of the 4,000 with seven loaves and a few small fishes, the Bible says. And in each case, he takes what was given to him. He takes those loaves and he takes those fishes. And he lifts them up to his Father and he says, thank you. He gives thanks for what was placed in his hands. And I wrote down next to that, I put them together, and I wrote down that Jesus there, he's giving thanks for life, L-I-F-E. Because what had God given them? God gave them what they needed. He provided what they needed to survive another day. Jesus said, we can't send these people away. They're going to faint. They're not going to make it back to their house. They needed food or they were not going to make it at this moment. And just when they needed something, God gave them what they needed to sustain their life. And I'm going to tell you what, God's been good to us. Amen. Just look around. We got much more than we need. And we pray for daily bread. God gives us daily bread. We ought to thank God that God gives us what we need that pertains to our life. The roof over our head, the food on our table, the clothes on our back, a car to drive, a house to live in, a job to go to, health in our bodies, whatever. The things that he gives us to sustain life, Jesus gives thanks for that. And I may come back to that here in just a second. But the fourth time you'll find Jesus giving thanks publicly in the Bible is in John chapter number 11. It's at the tomb of a friend by the name of Lazarus. And when he's there, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of drama, there's a lot of things going on right there at that graveside. But Jesus, at the graveside of Lazarus, he lifts his eyes toward heaven and he says, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, is what he says. He said, I want to thank you for hearing my prayers. Not only did Jesus give thanks for light, and Jesus gave God thanks for life, but Jesus gave God thanks for listening. Amen. And I want to thank God that he listens to our prayers. Amen. I'm glad that he inclines his ear. How many times does the psalmist give praise and thanks to God just for listening to what he has to say? He inclines his ear unto me. You heard my supplication. You heard my cry. And I want to thank God that we have a Father in heaven that listens to the cries of his children. Amen. Aren't you glad that he listens? Listen, you couldn't get an audience with the President of the United States if you wanted to. I don't think you want to. Maybe not until after January 20th. Amen. There's no way. You probably couldn't even get an audience with the governor of Georgia. You may not be able to get an audience with the mayor of Rossville. You might live next door to him or her. I don't know. But there's a lot of important people I'll never be able to talk to, but isn't it amazing that the God of the universe takes time to listen to our prayers? In fact, he spread a welcome mat in front of his throne room and said, just come on in. Come boldly. Amen. Find grace to help in a time of need. Thank God that he listens to us. The last time you'll find Jesus giving thanks, the fifth time that you'll find Jesus giving thanks in his earthly ministry, is in an upper room, sharing a meal with his disciples. And he takes that bread and he breaks it. And he gave thanks for it, didn't he? And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he took that cup, that fruit of the vine, and he gave his Father thanks for it. And then he gave it out, and they distributed it, and they poured it out. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you. Now listen, that was more than just Jesus giving thanks for a meal. He did that often. He did that every time, I'm sure. But that was Jesus because he knew what that bread represented. He knew what that cup represented. That was his body. That was his blood. He knew what was going to happen the next day. I don't believe at all that Calvary took Jesus by surprise. I don't believe that he was not fully aware of all the implications of his body being broken and his blood being shed. I think he knew everything that was going to happen to him on the next day, the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, the mental, all of the pain and all of that he was going to have to bear. And yet, in that moment, he knew what he was giving thanks for, but he lifted it up toward his Father and he said, God, I want to thank you for it. Now, that blows my mind that Jesus would give thanks for his own brokenness and Jesus would give thanks for his own blood being poured out. And what's amazing is you have the Lamb of God sitting there at that table, and he's giving thanks for the Lamb. Amen. Jesus is giving thanks. He's not just the offerer. He is the offering. And he is giving thanks for his own body that was going to be broken. And he is giving thanks for his own blood that was going to be shed. And if Jesus could sit at that table and know everything that was going to happen to him that night and the next day, and Jesus knew all the implications of Calvary, and Jesus could still give thanks, you know what we ought to do tonight? The very least we could do is raise some hands toward heaven and say, Lord, I want to thank you for the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. God, thank you for the body that was broken. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Thank you for Calvary tonight. And if you don't have anything else to be thankful for tonight, you ought to give God thanks for Calvary tonight. Even on your worst day, you can still be thankful for Calvary. Amen. Jesus gave thanks for the Lamb, that Passover meal. Amen. Jesus is giving thanks. Jesus was a thankful individual. I want to call your attention back to Mark 8 in just a minute. This is so simple tonight, but it's the only thing I can get on my heart tonight. And I want to look at how Jesus gave thanks for this bread and these fish back in Mark 8. He's giving thanks for life. Jesus is giving thanks for life. He's giving thanks for daily provision, daily bread. That's what Jesus told us to pray for, isn't that right? He told us to pray for daily bread. Thank you, Lord, for providing what we need. And man, we take for granted every day, don't we? We take for granted the daily provisions of life, the meals that we ate today and the clothes that we put on today and the roof over our head and the car that we drive and the money that we spend. You know what Paul said? He said, if you got food and raiment, he said, therewith be content. And most of us have much more than food and raiment. We have a lot more than that. We have so much to be thankful for tonight. And I'm interested in how Jesus gave thanks for daily provision. How do we give thanks for what God provides for us every single day of our life? Let me just give you just a few thoughts here very quickly and I'm done. Number one, I want you to see here first of all that Jesus gave thanks presently. He gave thanks presently. And what I mean by that is this, is that Jesus gave thanks at that very moment in time. I want you to notice the present nature of Jesus' thanksgiving. I want you to notice that Jesus gave thanks for what he had. Now listen, I know this is simple, but just stay with me, all right? Jesus gave thanks for what he had in his hands. That's what it says in verse number 6. He took the 7 loaves, and the sentence doesn't even end there. There's a comma there. And gave thanks. He literally took what was placed in his hands, and at that very moment in time, he gave thanks to his Father for what he had. Now, it wasn't much. It certainly wasn't much compared to the need that was there, compared to the size of the crowd, compared to what even the disciples expected to be sufficient to take care of everybody and feed this crowd. It's just a few small loaves. I remember during missions conference just a few weeks ago, maybe months ago now, Brother Chris preached on the feeding of the 5,000, and he reminded us that these loaves were not anything big. When I think of loaves, I think of sunbeam bread. You know, I think of, you know, big loaves, 7 loaves. I mean, you'd have to hold it like that to give thanks, to hold it all and give thanks for it, right? Or maybe some grocery bags full of it. No. These were probably very small little biscuits or breadstick looking things. You might could even hold 7 of them in one hand. You probably definitely could hold 7 of them in two hands like this. And they're in his hands, and just a few small fishes. That's probably 3 or 4 at the most. And he takes what was given to him, and he wasn't looking at the size of the crowd. He wasn't looking at all those things. He wasn't even thinking about necessarily what he was going to do with it next. What he did was he took what was given to him and he took what he had in his hands and he stopped right there and he said, Father, I want to thank you for what you've given me. God, thank you for what you put in my hands. And I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to stop right now and whatever you got, right? You say it ain't much. I don't have a lot. No. Whatever the Father has placed in your hands today, that's what you ought to be thankful for. That's what I ought to be thankful for. Whether it's a handful or a house full on a Sunday, whether the offerings are up or down, whether the job's going good or bad or whatever's got, whatever you got at that moment, you ought to be thankful for it. Whatever God puts in your hands presently at that moment in time, give God thanks for it. See, our problem is a lot of times we're thinking about the next, aren't we? We're thinking about what's coming down the pike. And it robs us of being thankful for what God's put in our hands today and what God's put in our hands right now. There's a sin that goes along with that problem in our life. It's called covetousness is what it is. Covetousness is when we are so enamored with what we don't have and what we want to have and what we feel like we're going to have down the road that we can't stop and be thankful for what we do have right now. At this present moment, we overlook what we have and are consumed with what we do not have or what we feel like is coming next. The Bible calls that covetousness, is what that is. There's an old Puritan preacher by the name of John Trapp, lived in the 1600s. He gave this quote on covetousness. I thought it was very interesting. He said, "Covetous men, by gaping after more, lose the pleasure of that which they possess as a dog at his master's table swalloweth the whole meat he casteth him without any pleasure, gaping still for the next morsel. And that's how we live our lives a lot of times, like a dog. I'm going to tell you, I'm not a dog person. Don't be mad at me for that. If you love dogs, that's fine. You go home, kiss all over it, whatever you want to do, that's fine. I'm not a dog person. I don't like it. And now, if my wife liked dogs, we'd have one. But she's the same as me. She's not a dog person. I'm not an animal person. And so we married each other, and our kids probably going to need therapy one day because they've never been able to have a dog. They've missed out on that. But when I was growing up, my mom is a dog person, and so mom always had a dog. I don't know if you want to call it a dog. It looked more like a rat is what we had at our house. It was a long-haired chihuahua. Chihuahua had long hair, and the thing had a hair lip. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog with a hair lip, but it had a hair lip. And the reason we got the dog with the hair lips, because when I was growing up, my dad was a missionary with Rock of Ages, and that meant we were broke. We didn't have any money at all. Mom wanted this expensive dog, and so we went to the dog place. I remember going to this house, and people had dogs everywhere in that house, and they gave us that hair lip dog half price. It was discounted. It was a Rock of Ages missionary dog right there. And I think it was $200 instead of $400 or whatever it was. And so we were able to get the half-price dog because it had a hair lip. It'd sit around the house with its tongue hanging out of its nose like that. It didn't bark, it marked is what it did. But anyway. But that dog, while you were sitting at the table eating, that dog would you know what it is for a dog to just sit there at your feet at the table and almost, just stare a hole in your head. You don't even have to look and see what's going on. You know that dog is staring at you. It wants something you have. It wants you to give it something. And I remember sometimes something would fall off the table or we'd be generous or whatever. If it was something I didn't like, I'd throw it down there to the dog. That happened a lot. Give it that dog. And that dog, even with its hair, even with its medical condition, that dog would just go, boom. It wouldn't even chew it. That dog would just swallow it down and then just look, its eyes never moved, just right back on you. It couldn't even enjoy what you gave it because it was so fixated on what might come next. God help us not to live our lives like a dog. Shouldn't we savor everything that the Father puts in our hands? Shouldn't we stop? We say it ain't a whole lot, but it's what He's put in your hands today. It's what He's given to you today. Stop and enjoy it and thank God for it. There might come a time down the road where you don't even have that much. And you look back and say, man, I wish I would have been thankful for what I had back then. Jesus gave thanks presently. He gave thanks for what He had right then. And what you have is precious. And God has given it to you. And we ought to give thanks presently right now. Instead of thinking, this year I got some big things coming and I got some stuff that might happen. And, down the road this year I got some stuff lined up. And you're so worried about all the things you got lined up, you hadn't stopped and said, Lord, thank you for what I got right now. He gave thanks presently. Not only did Jesus give thanks presently, but let me say this. Jesus gave thanks initially. Initially. And what I mean by that is this. He gave thanks first. Before He did anything else with it. And He knew what He was going to do with it, right? Obviously, He's God. He knows the multiplication, the distribution, the strength that it was going to give these people. He knew all that was going to happen. He knew all these things. But you know what He did? Instead of just taking what He had and immediately start giving it out and immediately start giving it away, you know what He did? He stopped. And He said, before we do anything else with this, we're going to stop. We're going to give God thanks. Before He did anything, before He used it, He thanked God. You know, Thanksgiving ought to be primary in our life. It ought to be initial. It ought to be just like a reflex, like very first, before we take it, do anything else with it. We ought to stop and give God glory for it. Before you read your Bible, you ought to thank God for your Bible. Before you enjoy time with your family, you ought to thank God that you get to enjoy time with your family. Before you use your talents at church, before you eat a meal even. That's why we stop. Before we even eat a meal, we stop and we say, Lord, hold on, before we consume this meal, I'm going to stop and I'm going to give you glory for it. The only exception to that would be the chips at the Mexican restaurant. You can dig right into those. There's a verse in here somewhere about that. You can give God thanks before you eat your chimichanga, all right? We're post-chip at our house. But anywhere else, you give God thanks first. I read about I can't remember who it was. It was D.L. Moody or Billy Sunders, one of these old preachers, and he was at a diner eating, and he stopped, and as he always did, and blessed his food and prayed over his food. And some old man from the corner came out and said, I saw you prayed over your food before you ate it. He said, yes, sir, I always do that. And the old man said, well, I don't believe in God. He said, I don't have to stop, do that. He said, when I get my food, I just dig right in. And the preacher said, yeah, that's what my dog does too. Amen. Just digs right in. I don't know why I'm picking on dogs tonight. I'm sorry about that. I really don't hate dogs. I hate responsibility is what I hate. I don't pay it. Just, we just want to be honest about it. But you know what you do when you give God thanks first? You know what that is? It's acknowledging the fact that it didn't come from you. You weren't the first one. You didn't come up with it. It came from somewhere else first. And it was given to you. You know, I like what Paul asked the church at Corinth. He said, 1 Corinthians 4, he said, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do you have that was not given to you first? I don't know about you, but I don't have anything that wasn't given to me. Everything that I have in my life was given to me by the good hand of a gracious God. God's been so good to me. How can we not do anything but first, before we do anything, say, Lord, I'm going to take, it may not be much, but I'm just going to take what I got. Before I use it, I'm going to thank you for it. He gave thanks presently. He gave thanks initially. And then I'll give you this and I'm done. He gave thanks repeatedly. Because what's interesting about this miracle of this nature is we know this is not the first time that Jesus is multiplying food. This is the second time. This is the second time Jesus did. He fed the 5,000 beside women and children with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. This is the second miracle of this nature. And I tell you, what's interesting to me is the fact that Jesus, what he did was he took that bread and he took that fish and he thanked his Father for it the first time he performed this miracle. But here it is, same situation. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what's going to happen. Same deal. All of it's happening all over again. But you know what he does? He stops and he does it again. And he gives thanks to his Father for provision again. And I know that might seem simple, and it might seem obvious, but the Lord really convicted me with that. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't know what you're prone to do, but myself, I know Chris Simpson and my flesh, and I'll tell you how my flesh is prone. My flesh is prone to the more God does something, the less grateful I get. And I give God glory and give him thanks the first time when it blows my mind that he did it. But then when he just does it over and over, I seem to get just a little less thankful and just a little less grateful. I'm going to tell you something. God has blessed us real good. In fact, you know what's amazing? Jesus has more in his hands this second time than he did the first time. He only had 5 loaves to be thankful for the first time. He's got 7 loaves to be thankful for the second time. You know, I thought a lot of us, we have more than we've ever had. We got more in our hands than we've ever had. And we're less grateful than we've ever been. God help us to give God thanks this time like we did the first time. God, let us see another sunrise today. We ought to give him thanks for it again. How about another Sunday to come to church? I know we take it for granted. Oh, it's just another Sunday. The doors are open at Bible Baptist. Brother Gravely is going to be there. Your Sunday school teacher is going to be there. We're going to have a good service. The Spirit, somebody mentioned this morning, but the Spirit of God moves here often. And man, we have good service. We had a good service this morning and something like that. And man, if you don't watch it, you begin to take that. When you first got here, you were so thankful for this place. But God's been providing a miracle for your family through this place every week. But you're not as grateful as you used to be. Jesus gave thanks repeatedly. I thought about, I'll tell you this and I'm done. I thought about how about this time a year ago, we're just getting started in evangelism. And maybe a little over a year ago, I didn't know what the year was going to look like and I didn't know how it was all going to work out. And I remember riding down the road, and the first time there was a preacher that called me, and in Arkansas, I didn't know, I never preached in Arkansas in my life. I didn't know, hardly, I may have known one or two preachers in Arkansas, but he wasn't one of them. And he called me, and he wanted me to come preach a revival. And I'm going to tell you something. I surrendered to go in evangelism and mark my last Sunday as a pastor. We were marching towards that date, and I didn't know how the year was going to go. And that preacher calling me and asking me to come preach a revival, it may not seem like a big deal to you, but I'm going to be honest, that was a big deal to me. I didn't have much on the calendar. And I'm going to be honest, riding down the road that day, after getting off the phone with him, man, I was just so overwhelmed with gratitude. I said, Lord, thank you. God, thank you for giving me a place to preach. God, thank you for giving me a revival meeting to preach. God, thank you. And I just remember being overwhelmed with gratitude for how good, I mean, just to for me to be able to put something on the calendar. I'm just so thankful. And just a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago now, a preacher was texting me about some dates for 2025. And I remember I was trying to get on the calendar, and I remember just in my heart, I don't know what you call it. Have you ever get like mumbly? I call it mumbly grumbly is what I call it. I don't know what you call it. But just get a little mumbly. You just murmur just a little bit. Y'all ever get that way? You're just kind of murmuring about things. And I for some reason I was looking at it, I was thinking, man, I gotta drive from here to there, and I'm not sure how I'm gonna do this, and trying to fit this meeting on the calendar. And I'm gonna be honest, the Holy Spirit, I think it was the Holy Spirit, slapped me upside the head and probably called me some mean names. I don't know. That might not have been the Holy Spirit. That might have been some issues I have from growing up. I don't know what that is, but I felt definite conviction. And it's almost like God said, you remember how thankful you were just to put something on the calendar not less than 12 months ago? And now you're over here grumbling about having to drive from over here to over here. And the Holy Ghost convicted my heart about the fact that for a whole year, and I don't mean to, I said something about it this morning, I don't mean to keep talking about it, but I'm just telling you where I'm believing. I mean, a whole year God has given me somewhere to preach and provided for our family and took care of us. And the fact that I would grumble about some kind of meeting when it wasn't even a year ago that I was worried if I was going to have any at all. God said, I'm doing it for you over and over and over and over again. Don't let what God, those miracles that God does for you every day, that job you get to go to every day, don't get up and grumble and mumble about it. Thank God you have somewhere to go and a means to provide for your family. I mean, if you got dirty dishes at the house, that means you had something to eat. Amen. If you got to pay some taxes this year, that means you made money. Amen. Thank God. There's something to be thankful for in all those things. God comes through over and over. His mercies are new every single morning. And if God gives us fresh mercy every day, don't you think we could give Him some fresh thanksgiving every day? So, well, Lord, I thank you for that 10 years ago. No, God provided again for us every day, every week. Jesus gave thanks repeatedly. I want to be a repeat thanksgiver. Amen. give God glory and thanks every moment of every day. Let's stand together all over the building. Brother Sam's going to pray. We've got our heads bowed and our eyes closed.